Did you know that Jesus was Jewish? You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith? Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Folks. Shalom, my friends. I'm Rabbi Jonathan Bernis, and I want to warmly welcome you to this special episode of Jewish Voice. It's part of a series on the Passover, and I have dear friends with me to help me through this. Scott Volk is a dear friend. He's a Jewish believer in Jesus, and many of you know Rabbi Jack Zimmerman, our in-house evangelist. Guys, I can't think of a better thing to be sharing with you today. We're continuing to talk about the Passover. Today, we're going to walk through one of the most profound and symbolic celebrations in the Jewish calendar. I would say the most. It's the watershed event in the history of Israel, and it's a watershed event for you because it points to our Savior, to our Messiah. It's the Passover Seder, the Passover meal. And this isn't just a remembrance of the Exodus when God brought the people of Israel, the Israelites, out of bondage in Egypt. It's also deeply connected to Yeshua, to Jesus, who is our Messiah and Savior. He's the Messiah of Israel, but he's the Savior of the world. The Passover story foreshadows the ultimate redemption that he brings to all who put their trust in him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This celebration is a powerful reminder of God's faithfulness, both in history and our lives today. And we're going to show you how to host. This is so important. We're going to be practical. We're going to show you how to host a Passover celebration, a Passover Seder meal in your home or in your community. It's so easy to do. So easy to do.
Yes, and in fact, of course, the redemption itself comes through the shedding of blood. This is one of the best ways to share the story of God's redemptive work and how he fulfills his promises through Yeshua with our children, our grandchildren, and with our Jewish neighbors.
Absolutely. Some of my favorite memories as a child and as an adult are celebrating the Seder with my family and with my friends.
Well, let's take a moment to share the essentials of the Passover. There's elements to the Passover Seder and what they represent.
Yes.
And we'll call these the big five, the major five, right? The essential five.
Yeah.
Because there's five things. Now, there's more to the Seder, and we're going to guide you through that in the days ahead. We have a kit that we're going to get to you to help you to do that. But the five essentials we want to talk about. So dig in, one of you. Who wants to start?
Amen. And you know what, Jonathan? To me, the biggest of the five is the shank bone of the lamb at the Passover Seder. Why? Because the whole theme of Passover is redemption. We were redeemed. Our ancestors were redeemed by the blood of a lamb that was slain, and that blood smeared on the lintels and the doorposts of the houses of the people in Egypt. When the angel of death saw that blood on the doorposts, he would not bring death to that home, but instead he would pass over. So we have the symbolism of a physical lamb, an innocent lamb that was slain, and the blood atoning for the sin of the people. And it points to Yeshua, our Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. In John 1:29, for he is our lamb, and it was his blood shed for us that redeems us from sin and slavery. I love this. I just wish there was meat on it.
You see that he's our evangelist. Great job. That is number one out of the five. That's the most important. There's really three that are pillars, but there's five that are really important. Mm-hmm. Scott, this is number two.
Yeah, amazing. A flat piece of bread with no leaven in it. You know, there was not time for the bread to rise when God was telling the children of Israel to prepare the Passover. So he said he wants them to eat bread without any leaven. And this bread is a picture of Jesus, Yeshua, the Lamb of God, when he says, "This is my body, broken for you." And as we look at this piece of matzah, it's very interesting because one thing that happens in the Passover Seder is the father of the house takes the middle of three pieces of matzah, breaks it in half during the Passover Seder, hides that piece that's broken, wraps it in a white linen cloth, and then the children go and find it at the end of the meal. And then that piece of matzah, which is called the afikomen, comes out. It's like the dessert. It's like the ending part. It's the highlight of the meal. The child who finds it gets a little gift, maybe a quarter, maybe a dollar. We don't know how much.
It's 10 bucks.
$10 today. Inflation.
I got a quarter.
Inflation. Yeah. But it's that very piece of bread that Yeshua breaks and gives to his disciples.
Great point. It's redeemed. It's redeemed.
It's
and
redemption.
He didn't last.
Yes.
But the amazing thing is that some scholars say, and I think it's true, that afikomen, the word afikomen that you mentioned, isn't Hebrew. It's Greek, and it means I came.
I came.
Ooh.
Yes.
Imagine that Jewish people around the world are doing this every year.
Yes.
And they're eating the afikomen, the broken middle piece.
I love it.
And they don't know that it's Jesus,
it's
that it's Yeshua. Mm. But they'll find out. Some say that this was a first century messianic tradition that made its way into the traditional Passover Seder. I don't know. So those are the first two. Jack, the third one, which is the essential. This is the third, the big three out of the five essentials.
The bitter herbs, a reminder of the bitterness of slavery when the Israelites endured it, when they were slaves in Egypt, but also the bitterness for us who have not yet, for those who have not yet accepted Yeshua, the bitterness of being a slave to the devil, to the enemy. And that's why this whole theme of redemption is so important. We are redeemed from the bitterness of slavery and bondage, having the promise of freedom, going out into our promised land of eternal life.
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen. And the reason I say that these are the three pillars is because these are the three things that the Israelites ate in Egypt, in their home, under the protection of their blood-covered door while the angel of death passed over. Those were the only three things they ate, according to the scriptures. But there's two more that are really essentials. Scott, number four is really important because it's about handing down this to the children. It's the four questions.
The four questions, amazing. The youngest child often asks four questions at the Seder meal. And these questions gives the father an opportunity to answer these questions by talking about the story of redemption, how God brought his people out, how he saved them, how he slayed the Egyptians with his mighty right arm, and how he brought his children into the land of promise. So as children around the world are on this night asking their dad the question, the father or the grandfather of the house gets to explain the four questions.
Yeah, and the final one, I've switched the order because it's so profoundly connected to the Last Supper.
Yeah.
And that's the four cups of wine.
Yes.
Or some say grape juice. We know it's wine. The disciples fell asleep after in the prayer meeting. It was wine. Okay, I'm going to get some negative letters for that. Go ahead and bomb me with the letters. I'll give them to Jack to answer. Both of you chime in on this because it's so big.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brent. Well, I just love that at the Last Supper, Jesus picked up the cup at a certain point in the meal, and he said, take, drink. This is the blood of the new covenant. This is my blood. So when he says, this is my blood, he's not only demonstrating that he is the Passover lamb, but it came at a very integral part of the Passover Seder. Mm. That cup is significant. It's the third cup. So maybe just explain what those four cups are and why Jesus chose the third cup to pick up and to say, take and drink and remember me.
It's basically communion. Look, anytime that you have partaken in communion, you have already participated in part of a Passover Seder. You've partaken in the third cup of the Passover Seder. But it starts off, why does it start off with the first cup, which is called the cup of sanctification or the cup of holiness? Because you want to start off this festival being reminded that our holiness, our righteousness, doesn't come from anything that we have ever done or can ever do. We're reminded that any righteousness we think we have, forget it. It's like filthy rags. Our righteousness and holiness doesn't come from anything we've ever done. It comes from everything that Christ already did.
So well put. We've created a special kit that will help you through this with a guidebook. Each element of the Seder plays a role in retelling the story of redemption and brings profound depth. It's like forming a tapestry that weaves the past, the present, and the future into one beautiful meal of redemption and hope.
The Last Supper was a Passover meal. We've put together several resources to further illuminate why that's important to remember. Two DVDs, Yeshua's Final Passover, filmed in Jerusalem, Jonathan digs into the symbolism of those events in the upper room, and the DVD, His Final Footsteps, in which Jonathan literally traces the last 24 hours of Jesus' life, plus a His Final Footsteps 24-day devotional and a Haggadah to guide you in hosting your own Messianic Passover Seder with the order of service, prayers, and the Exodus story. We'll send the booklet, devotional, and DVDs out as a thank you for your gift of $45 or more. Even better, celebrate Passover by becoming a monthly Shalom partner. Make your first gift of $40 or more per month, and to show our appreciation, we'll also include the essential decor and tableware for your Passover meal. This Seder kit includes timeless blue and white ceramic candle holders, serving plate, decorative cup, and the required matzah cover. All of this is our way of resourcing you for your Seder with family and friends. As a monthly Shalom partner, 100% of your donations activate meaningful ministry work, sending Bibles, sharing the good news, and meeting humanitarian needs around the world, especially in Israel. Please call this toll-free number. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or by scanning the QR code. As a Shalom partner, your monthly gift of $40, we believe, is a reflection of God's faithfulness in your life.
Now I invite you to join me in a Passover Seder meal. Now, the Passover Seder is a beautiful and deeply symbolic meal that recounts God's mighty redemption of Israel from slavery in Egypt, and it points us to the ultimate redemption through Yeshua, through Jesus the Messiah. I have a beautiful family joining me today. Clinton and Lydia, thank you for doing this and bringing your beautiful children. I'm going to take you through the elements of the Seder, of the meal, the actual Passover meal. And it looks pretty elaborate, but it's actually quite simple. And all of the elements that we're going to talk about are readily available. I know it looks very elaborate, but there's really a simplicity to this, which you'll see along the way. So I'll take you through the different elements, and then we'll go through the actual Seder, the service that is taking place around this incredible meal that we want to invite you to do at home, because it will really be meaningful to you and the people you invite. So let's begin with each element, and I'll take you through it. The irkutz, or the washing of the hands, is really the beginning of the Seder. We're simply preparing ourselves. We're washing our hands. This was very typical of any meal that was consumed by a Jewish person, by an observant Jewish person. They wash their hands. Now, Jesus actually criticized the Pharisees because he didn't wash their hands at one point, and he says, look, all food is declared sanctified. It's not what goes into your mouth. It's what goes into your heart and what comes out of your heart. But this is a very important part of the Seder meal, where we're sanctifying ourselves, we're washing our hands. There's no blessing for this because there's no bread present yet. We're not yet eating. And this symbolizes, again, the cleansing, the purification. Messianic believers reflect on Yeshua's washing of his disciples' feet. He took it that much further, and he washed their feet as an act of humility and servanthood. And that's the beginning of our Seder meal. We begin with the Kiddush, which is the first cup of four cups of wine or grape juice we're going to consume during the meal. And there's a prayer that we say. It's a prayer in Hebrew, and I'm going to give it to you in Hebrew and then in English. And this is one of the first things that's done in the Seder meal, the consuming of the first cup of wine, which is a sanctification. It's separating this time, this meal, this observance from everything else. It's a set aside time to remember the Exodus out of Egypt. So we raise the glass and we say, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam borei pri hagafen. And here's the English. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Get that? The vine, the branches. That may be Jesus alluding to the Passover Seder when he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear fruit. So the cup of sanctification, the first cup that we're going to consume during the Passover Seder. The Yechatz is the next thing, and this is a highlight. This is a high point in the Seder. We have three matzot, three pieces of matzah, boards of matzah, and they're wrapped together. Three of them wrapped together. Now, just pay attention to this because this is really important. This is really, really significant. So we have what's called a matzah tash, which is part of our kit, and the three pieces of matzah. And at this point in the Seder, we're taking the middle piece of matzah, not the bottom, not the top, but the middle piece. They're all separated, but they're together. They're distinct, but they're together. And we're taking the middle piece of the three out from the three, and we're breaking it in half. It's not perfect, but you get the idea. It's broken in half. Why the middle piece? Well, the rabbis tell us, the sages tell us, it represents Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, there's an argument. Other rabbis, since you have two rabbis, three opinions, say that no, it's speaking of the kingly line, the priestly line, and the people of Israel, the Am Haaretz. Okay, but why is the middle piece broken? Nobody has an answer. Well, how about this one? How about three pieces, separate but together, Father, Son, the Messiah, and the Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. The middle piece, the Son, the Mashiach, is broken. The Messiah is broken. And what we do is we take a cloth, we wrap half the middle piece. This is happening in every Jewish home around the world, and they don't know why. Very interesting. We wrap this piece, and then we take the middle, the other half, we put it, insert it back in the middle. Okay? And that's left alone now. But the middle piece that we've left out and wrapped, we hide. We bury. And then the kids find it. They hunt around at the end of the meal. They find it, and then they redeem it. And the leader of the Seder has to pay them for it. It has to be redeemed. I used to get a quarter. My kids have been demanding more. They get $10 now. The one that finds it gets $10. And the leader or the designated leader hides it. The assistant hides it somewhere where they can find it with some trouble. It's redeemed. It's broken into the number of pieces of the participants, and they eat it as the last thing. Come on. This is talking about Yeshua being broken for us, buried, being resurrected, redeemed, and then we partake, right, of his body, which is broken for us in the communion. It's absolutely amazing. It's done in every Jewish home without understanding, but you can help them understand when you have your Seder and invite them and explain what the middle piece really means. Now, the matzah, or the unleavened bread, and here we have a big stack of it. It's not the most delicious thing, but it's very, very important. It's bread that hasn't had time to rise. And so now we make it without yeast, so it can't rise. And it reminds us of the speed in which the Israelites had to quickly leave Egypt. Pharaoh kept changing his mind. Yes, go. No, you can't go. Go, you can't go. And they had to leave in haste. And so the bread didn't have time to rise. And so we remember that with unleavened bread. And this goes all the way back to the first Seder. There was only three things they ate. The matzah, the unleavened bread, which didn't have time to rise. They ate lamb and they ate bitter herbs. Only those three. Those are the only three essential elements, foods that were consumed in the original Passover. So this is really important. Isn't it interesting that the matzah has all of these stripes in it? And this is manufactured, but this is typical of matzah that are used around the world. It's pierced. Do you see the pierce marks in this? He was pierced for our iniquities. And we will look upon him whom we have pierced, it tells us in Zechariah, and mourn for him, as the Jewish people recognize that, in fact, Jesus is Yeshua, their promised Messiah. So all that is in this unleavened bread. And one other thing, leaven, according to the New Testament, is symbolic of sin. Paul says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It's talking about sin. And this bread is without leaven. It's without sin. And it's this bread, not Wonder Bread, not Italian bread, that Jesus broke with his disciples and said, "This is my body." And the prayer over the bread, the motzi, is the same again as any other Shabbat or any other meal. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam chamotzi lechem min haaretz. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And when he's saying, this is my body broken for you, and they ate, he was talking about his sinless nature, that he's going to be broken, that he's going to be crucified for the world, for the sins of the world, and only he who was without sin could bear our sin, and so we're made the righteousness of God in him. Everybody try this. I don't think you'll like it too much, but it's part of our celebration. The next element of the Seder is one of the three. I said before, there's only three things that were eaten in the original Passover meal, the matzah, and the second one was the maror, the bitter herbs, and that's the next thing that we're going to do. We're going to eat the bitter herbs, the maror, and this is horseradish, and it can be very strong or not so strong, but this is the maybe the most unpleasant part of the Seder. We're remembering the pain and suffering of the people of Israel in Egypt as slaves under the taskmasters of the Egyptians. And so we're remembering that with the maror. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam asher kidshanu b'mitzvah tov v'chilot maror. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to eat the bitter herbs, particularly on the Passover. So here we go. Everybody ready? One, two, three. We're doing it together. It's actually not too bad. But yeah, that would be my reaction, but I'm a pro at this. Israel, it's pretty bitter, huh? Yeah. Now comes the meal. Everybody's been waiting for the meal. We've had little bits and pieces. We've tasted the matzah. We've tasted the bitter herbs. That's not so much fun, is it, gang? But now we're really hungry, and it's time for the meal. And this is called the Shulchan Aruch. This is the festive meal, and it literally means the plate, the order of the meal itself. And this is a festive meal. Now, traditionally, and of course in the time of Yeshua, and going all the way back to the original Seder meal in Egypt, they ate lamb. And that's what we're going to eat today in our Seder meal. It's been replaced by other traditional things like brisket with chicken, with some kind of protein. And we have a festive meal, the Shulchan Aruch. This is dinner served. It's a meal of freedom. We're reclining because we're free now, and we're enjoying this festive meal that's a whole spread. And Messianic families are reflecting, of course, on Yeshua's presence among us, and we're breaking really a fast during the day for this festive meal. So bring it on and let's eat.
The Last Supper was a Passover meal. We've put together several resources to further illuminate why that's important to remember. Two DVDs, Yeshua's Final Passover, filmed in Jerusalem. Jonathan digs into the symbolism of those events in the upper room. And the DVD, His Final Footsteps, in which Jonathan literally traces the last 24 hours of Jesus' life. Plus, a His Final Footsteps 24-day devotional and a Haggadah to guide you in hosting your own Messianic Passover Seder with the order of service, prayers, and the Exodus story. We'll send the booklet, devotional, and DVDs out as a thank you for your gift of $45 or more. Even better, celebrate Passover by becoming a monthly Shalom partner. Make your first gift of $40 or more per month, and to show our appreciation, we'll also include the essential decor and tableware for your Passover meal. This Seder kit includes timeless blue and white ceramic candle holders, serving plate, decorative cup, and the required matzah cover. All of this is our way of resourcing you for your Seder with family and friends. As a monthly Shalom partner, 100% of your donations activate meaningful ministry work, sending Bibles, sharing the good news, and meeting humanitarian needs around the world, especially in Israel. Please call this toll-free number. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or by scanning the QR code. As a Shalom partner, your monthly gift of $40, we believe, is a reflection of God's faithfulness in your life.
We leave time in every program for prayer. And maybe you're Jewish and you just happened on this program. It's not by accident. It's not by coincidence. God wants you to know that he's reaching out to you with eternal life, with the gift of eternal life. That's the Passover story. Don't let this moment pass. All you have to do is say, God, I love you. I want to live for you. I believe that Yeshua is my Messiah, that he died for me, and I want him to live inside of me. I want to live for you. And that's all it takes. So don't let this moment pass. If you need more information, let us know, and we will help you through this process. And what's at the end of it? Not only eternal life, but abundant life. It will change your life, I can tell you, after 44 years. So don't let this moment pass. And there's a lot of people in need right now. What a great opportunity, talking about God's redemption in the Passover, to pray for needs today. So Scott, will you start and just pray for people that are watching?
Lord, thank you for this Passover. Thank you for the indication that you gave us 3,500 years ago that you are our Redeemer. Lord, you heard the cries of the Israelite children and you moved on their behalf. And we ask you to do that for those of our friends who are watching today. You know our needs before we ask. We pray that you move in every home, household, Lord, hearing this prayer. Lord, you know our needs. I pray abundant life for all those watching today in Yeshua's name.
Yes. Hallelujah. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blood of the Lamb that was slain, that brought about the atonement of sin for the people. Not only, Lord God, in Egypt, but it is still true today, but it's no longer by animal sacrifices, because it was, it is, and it always will be about the once and for all sacrifice, Yeshua. I pray that you open minds and hearts to allow each and every one to see that he is the fulfillment of the Passover. In Yeshua's name, hallelujah.
Amen. And amen. We invite you to go deeper and find meaningful ways to support and to bless Israel and the global Jewish community by visiting jewishvoice.tv. There you'll discover treasures to grow in your faith and opportunities to make a positive impact. And remember, the greatest news you can give any Jewish person, or anyone for that matter, is the good news of Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, and our Savior. As we close our program today, I want to remind you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122:6. And it also says they'll prosper who love thee. So love the Jews, love the Arabs, love people, and pray for their redemption. Until next time, this is Jonathan Burness along with Scott and Jack saying shalom and God bless you.